Hello, and welcome once again to Mount Carmel Baptist Church Online. We are certain you will be blessed by the preaching and teaching you hear today. Please return and listen again, as sermons will be updated regularly. Thank you, and may God bless you.
While we're all standing together honoring God today, has the Lord brought you through anything? You're not ashamed to give witness and testimony that the Lord is able. Not only is he able, but he's willing. Not only is he willing, he will bring you through. Father, we thank you for this day and we bless the word of God. We pray your strength and blessing in this sacred place as we go gather around the Holy Writ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn with me to Genesis 21. Genesis 21. And I'll begin reading the verse number 15, Genesis 21. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went down and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, and I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. Father, bless this word as we share it in faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Introduce the central theme of this word by saying to your neighbor, "God heard the boy." Amen. And that's what I want to talk about for a few moments today on this glorious Sunday morning. I want to talk with you from the subject, "God heard the boy." Mount Carmel members will recall that before we went into our Christmas season and we began to teach and preach on Advent and Christmas and what that means to us, that we were walking through a series on relationships. And we were looking at the relationships and the great characters of the Bible, beginning all the way back to Genesis, and now having come up through the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And what we've learned is that life at its best is only as good as your relationships. And so the quality of your life will only be as good as your relationships. If you are blessed and you're in relationship with God, that's your first relationship. Amen. Amen. And then the Lord may bless you. You may have a spouse, significant other, a partner, someone to share a life journey with. Your quality of life is only as good as the quality of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And then the Lord may bless you with children or grandchildren, brothers, sisters, etc., parents. Your quality of life is only as good as the relationships in your life. And so now we've come all the way, and the last place we talked about, persons we talked about, were Abraham and Sarah. And I want to use the jumping point as we talked about Abraham and Sarah and move on to Hagar and Ishmael. Bible students recall that Hagar and Ishmael, Sarah and Abraham, are uniquely connected. There is great drama surrounding this family and their lives. There's so much drama, it would be fair to say their story could be called As the World Turns. The narrative tells us that God calls Abraham and says to him, God, to go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you recall that Abraham was faithful, so much so that eventually he will be known as the father of faith. And he did do exactly as God commanded him by faith, sometimes with fear and trepidation, certainly sometimes in uncertainty and certainty. But Abraham did move forward. Tell your neighbor, move forward. He did not get stuck in his past. His traditions were not so great that he was unwilling to move forward. And you got to be careful that your ties to your yesterday are not so great that you cannot hear the new revelation of God as it's breaking through every single day. And we call that Abraham and Sarah, if you don't know, Sarah is Abraham's wife of many years, and Sarah and Abraham was barren. We often like to put this on Sarah, but it's not simply Sarah. Abraham and Sarah were barren. Both Abraham and Sarah were well past childbearing age, and I've been to school and I understand biology, but I don't have time to go into all that this morning. Amen. But God had promised an heir, and there was no evidence of the fulfillment of God's promise. And years passed, year after year, some estimate about 10 years or so, and Sarah, who was already past childbearing age, had not produced a child, and Sarah and Abraham reasoned together. Amen. They reasoned together. The promise had not come forth. They reasoned together that we ought to do something. And you got to be careful, because when God makes a promise and it doesn't show up on your timetable, we get nervous. Amen. And we begin to do the things that we think we can do to help God with that promise. Some people like to plan and pray and go into action. I teach the exact opposite. I teach that you pray, then plan. You missed that. You pray, then plan. Because when you pray first, it helps you to know that you're going in the right direction for the plan. You could have a plan that's perfectly laid out to arrive in Chicago, but God wants you to go to Los Angeles. Amen. You fulfilled the plan, but you went to the wrong direction. So you got to learn to pray first, then execute your plan. Well, the scriptures teach us in narrative that Abraham and Sarah reasoned together, and Sister Sarah gets the brunt of this as well, because Sister Sarah is described in the story as telling Abraham, given that no child has shown up, and we both are past age, and the clock is ticking, we've got this young girl over here. Her name is Hagar. And she's our slave. We picked her up in the bounty that when we left out of Egypt, she was in that lot that we had. And she's a young girl. And why don't you go and lie with her, and then we can help the promise come along. Amen. Now, the men like to read this and say, oh, that was Sarah's fault. But I didn't read three chapters of objection from Abraham. Amen. Amen. I didn't read three chapters of objection from Abraham. I don't know. I don't want to get into Abraham's mind. I don't know what the man was speculating, but apparently it wasn't anything that was too, be careful, Reverend, too far off of his agenda. Talk to me, somebody. And so the story tells us that Abraham went and lied with Hagar, and Hagar would produce a child whose name is Ishmael. Yes, yes. Now, my heart goes out for Hagar, because Hagar represents generations of women who have suffered under the oppression of others by not having ample power to protect themselves. Too many women have been forced to live in the circumstances of life that are beyond their control. Women whose bodies have been used for the purpose of the powerful. Somebody say amen, preacher. And I cannot think of anything more hideous than to not even have control over your own body. And yet many women have suffered through this endometriosis experience, having others decide for them what they will do with their body. I don't mean any offense, but be careful, rather cloaked under the guise of religion, education, or politics when somebody else starts telling you what you should do with your body. Somebody talk to me, somebody. Oh, well, what we learn is that Hagar, in many ways, represents the model of the single parent who had to learn how to lean on God. Oh, yes, Abraham was around, and Abraham would provide some water and bread. But when times got tough, Abraham failed as a father. I know this is messing with some of your faith because he's the father of faith, but Abraham was not a great father to Ishmael. I've got biblical evidence on my side to approve it. And even though Abraham goes down in history as a father of faith, he will go down as the failed father to Ishmael. Ishmael and Hagar will learn that even when you can't depend upon your own father, you can depend upon the great father, and God is our great father. God is the father of all. And while it is apparently clear that Abraham and Sarah did not know what to do with Ishmael, that God the Father had a plan for Ishmael's life. So God had a plan and God had a purpose. And whatever situation caused you to get here, and however you got here, tell your neighbor, I'm here. It may have not come from the most pristine of situations. You may have been born on the wrong side of track. You may have come out of a relationship that was just a bump in the night. You may have showed up having not had a mother or a father, but God has a plan for your life, and you're living because God has a purpose for you to be here. And if that were not the case, you would have been gone a long time ago, honey. Oh, I'm down your street now. I know. And it's delicate, so pray for me. Because all of us got some stuff that we done come out of. You think you're the only one that's been bruised? No, just look around, baby. There's a room full of people right here, right now. And if we gave testimony one by one, we could talk about how the Lord brought us through. Oh, talk to me, somebody. And I need you to pray for this generation, because there's some stuff going on that we ain't never seen before. Amen. Amen, Pastor. Let me just talk to you for a minute here. Listen, I was at a conference not recently, and I found out, I knew this, but I didn't know it. I knew it, but I didn't. 29% of all Caucasian children are born in a home without a father present. 29% of Caucasians are born in a home without a father present. Somebody say amen. That's got awful, isn't it? 54% of Hispanics. Children are born in a home without a father present. 54%. That's God off, isn't it? You can say amen. You know where I'm going. You know where I'm going. 70% of African American children are born in a home without a father present. Talk to me, somebody. I'm not sure how to interpret what that means, but I know it means something. And I know it means something about us, about how we understand reality and relationships, their challenges, their joys, and their sorrows. And there's some stuff that we have to reclaim, because children who are born in homes without fathers are four times more likely to end up in poverty. Talk to me, somebody. And I'm not here to point fingers at anybody. Life is too short for that. I'm not here to blame anybody for any circumstances. I am here. I am here to call us to a higher way of living. That's my role. I'm the prophet. That's what I'm here for. I'm here not to tell you just what's wrong. I'm here to tell you that God is able. That God can pull you up when others push you down. Reggie, I'm going to talk with the men. I've been talking with this ministry called Man Up. They got some things we're going to work on over the next several months. That we're going to talk about how to help and be a presence in any way we can to demonstrate the love of God. Amen. To children. Amen. To children. Amen. Who are experiencing challenges like never before. And I dare say that most of us in worship this morning have come from circumstances and situations that have challenged us as children. And as I said, I don't want to point the finger at nobody. I've got my journey and testimony. I've got my struggles, my ups and downs. I don't think there's anything such as a perfect family or relationship. The only perfect relationship is God talking to God. When you and I get in it, it becomes imperfect. Amen. Amen. And some may have a question right here now. How can I deal with this? I talked about last week, you may be holding on to some things that happened from the past, or you may be wrestling with how you got where you got, or what venue or you came through. And I came to tell somebody that God is faithful, and that God does have a plan and a purpose for your life. And when Hagar bore a son named Ishmael, and she conceived that son, and there was a theological question that had to be raised, and the question that had to be raised is, who would be the heir for Abraham? And you do know that the Bible says that when Hagar conceived, she looked at Sarah. Amen. She looked at her in a displeasing way. I don't want to offend any of these wonderful ladies here, but you know, a woman can look at you. Talk to me, somebody. She ain't got to say nothing. She can look at you. Now, you know you in trouble. You better straighten up. You better get it right. Talk to me, somebody. Be careful here. Amen. Amen, Pastor. She looked at Sarah. And Sarah pulled Abraham to the side and said, she got to go. She got to go. Talk to me, somebody. And sure enough, Abraham and Sarah got together. I ain't pointing no fingers at nobody. And as much as Abraham thought about the heir, she said, well, Hagar, I don't mean no offense or nothing, but you got to go, honey. And the Bible says he gave her some water and a little bread and sent her out to the Negev, the edge of the desert. Amen. I don't know what kind of father that is, but that's what he did. I'm in the book. And when he sent her out, she wanders out. The first incident of her going out is the baby hadn't been born yet, and she's in the desert, and God comes to her and says, don't worry, I got my eyes on you. And the baby I'm going to bless. And he will be the father of many nations. And I'm going to watch over you too, since you ain't got nobody else to watch over you. I'm going to watch over you. And said, go back. And the story is that she went back, and somehow they worked it out, and she was able to continue to be a slave. I don't know how wonderful that is, because I have no intention, nor do I have any desire to live in that kind of condition. But she worked it out. Well, by the time we get to our text, situations have changed. The baby has been born. Hagar has grown. The baby has grown. As a matter of fact, Sarah's been blessed, and she has a child. Sarah's child is Isaac. And Isaac is in Sarah's mind and Abraham's mind to be the blessing of the promise as God has said. And they're on good ground because God said he was going to come through Isaac. Well, you know, what happens now is that Isaac is guilty as his mama was, in that the scripture says that one day Sarah heard Ishmael laughing at Isaac. Mm-hmm. Now, she could laugh, but he couldn't laugh. And so when she heard that, she got Abraham, come here. I told you they had to go. And now, for the second time, you hear me? The second time, they are off again into the wilderness. This time, Abraham gives them some bread and water as he'd done before to help the journey. And they arrive in the desert, having been cast aside, having been put out. A father would have tried to protect the boy. But I understand, men, sometimes the women are just too much. Talk to me, somebody. You might as well say amen. I said, you might as well say amen. I know what I'm talking about. I've been married close to 30 years now. I know what I'm talking about. You say, look, I can't fight this fight. I'm not going to win it. All right, baby, whatever. Let's just go that way. Praise the Lord. That don't make you holy. Amen. But you learn how to survive. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to somebody here. Come on, man. Say amen, Pastor. Some stuff you just survive. And you ain't leading nothing. You survive it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And sure enough, she goes into the desert. And there is where we pick the text up. And when the water in the skin was gone, you got it? She cast the child under one of the bushes. And then she went and sat down opposite him a good ways off, about the distance of a bow shot. And why did she do that? Because she said, do not let me look on the death of this child. And is there anything more difficult than to watch your own child die and to be powerless, to have no way to help, and to see that child just dwindling away? And as she sat opposite to him, she lifted up her voice and she wept, period. Oh, my God, what a terrible story. Oh, my God, what an awful place to end. And then it says, and God. Talk to me, somebody. And God, watch this, heard the voice of the boy. Not the voice of his mama, but he heard the voice of the boy. And when God heard the voice of the boy, an angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, check this out, he heard the boy. In other words, I don't know if the boy was crying. I don't know if the boy was praying. I don't know what he was doing. But the boy got God's attention. And when God turned and heard the boy, God tried to remind somebody, I got you covered. This is not the first time we've been in the wilderness together. This is not the first time you've been put out the house. This is not the first time that somebody called you out of your name. This is not the first time they said you would never be nothing. We've been here before. I got this. No, you missed that. Tell your neighbor, I got this. And God talked not to the boy, but God talked to his mother. How many of us have been blessed in ways we will never know because of praying children? Woo! Talk to me, somebody. How many of us have God interceded in such a way because of our children? I know you thought it was all about you, but tell your neighbor, it's not all about you, honey. Now, when them babies showed up, the field got changed. When them babies showed up, God looked at you and the babies, and since they showed up, God has a plan for their life, just as he has a plan for your life, and perhaps God is using you to fulfill the plan.
I told the story earlier. I was... And a man came to me, talked to me, Pastor,
I want to get a house. So you want to get a house? Yeah, I need a house. I need a house. I need you to pray for me. I'm working with this company. I almost got together. I got some stuff that's not really lined up the way it's supposed to be. But I want to get this house. I said, "What time?" He said, "I want to get this house." This man was a single parent. He was raising his children. He said, "I want to get this house for my children." I said, "You want to get the house for your children?" "Yeah, yeah, Pastor. I want to get the house for my children." So I looked at him and I said, "It's done." He said, "Why?" He said, no, Pastor, you understand. I got problems in my community. I don't have enough money, and I don't. But I got. I'm trying to get this house." I said, "It's done." He said, "Well, wait a minute now. But I want you to pray for me." I said, "I'm gonna pray for you before you leave here. But I'm telling you, it's done." And he couldn't quite get it, because in his own testimony, he was giving the answer to his prayer. Now, if he had come in and told me, "Pastor, I want to get a new house. I want to get a new house in this neighborhood. I saw this. It's got 4 bedrooms and 2 baths. It's got a hot tub out in the back. And I like the neighborhood, and I want to get a house." I would say, "Well, you better pray then. You better get on your knees. I don't know if that's the right house for you or not. I don't know, but start praying. Maybe the Lord will give it to you. I don't know." Well, if he had come in and said, "Well, I want to get a house because I want my friends to see me living in the right neighborhood. And if I can live in the right neighborhood, then I can have more influence. And I want them to know that I'm somebody, so I want to get this house." Mm-hmm. Talk to me, somebody. Sometimes we buy houses for the wrong reason. Mm-hmm. You want somebody to see your house. Nobody care where you live at. Praise the Lord. I don't care. Amen. I'm trying to worry about where I live at. Amen. We caught up on the wrong things. Drive whatever you want. Nobody care what you drive. It's your thing. Talk to me, somebody. Amen. Amen. Nobody care about that. Amen. If you think that life is about a car or a house, you just missed the whole thing. You just missed the whole thing. Amen. So I said to him, yeah, it's done. It's done, man. I'm telling you, it's done. What he didn't understand is that God looks out for the least among us. That God has a huge heart for children. And that whenever you find yourself and somebody's trying to push you down, God will start pushing you up. It's like Israel, and they said, "Now you make brick without straw." When people start telling you, "You make brick without straw," don't curse God. Say, "I don't know how we're going to do it, God, but we must be getting closer to you," because they turn in the heat up. And when the heat gets turned up, God raises up the least. Oh, let me try again. How am I doing time? Okay, I'm going good. Gayrard Wilmore would have said it this way. Theologically, he would have said that God is a God of the oppressed. That means that God loves the weakest. He cares for the least among us. When the man said, "I want to get a house for my children," I knew then that God would give him the house. Because his heart was not for himself. His heart was to provide a better life for these children. And God is a faithful. Oh, mama, if you want a sure enough blessing, bring your baby to Sunday school. And teach the baby how to pray. Boom, that was good. Teach the baby how to pray. Because when the baby starts praying, not only will the baby be blessed, but everybody who's in the house. Let me be careful now. If you're in one room getting high, and the baby's in the other room praying, "Lord, help us." Which way is God going to go? God's not going to give you more money so you can get high. But God will come in the room with the baby. And when he comes in the room with the baby, he'll show up in the house, and you find that you can't get high in your own house in him.
Mm-hmm. Let me talk to you. Hagar groans. His mama sees his life whittling. The boy's voice is lifted. The angel comes to Hagar and says, "What troubles you, Hagar? We've been here before, you know. Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hands, for I will make a great nation of him." Did not God do it? No, did not God do it? Our brothers from Islam and those of Arab descent trace their origin back to this brother. And they say, God blessed us through Ishmael. And then God opened up her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin and the water and gave it to the boy to drink. And God opened her eyes. Whenever you start talking to God, whenever you start looking for God, God will open up your eyes. Oh, you missed that. God will open up your eyes. God doesn't have to bring anything new. He's just got to help you to see what he's already placed around you. The well was there, but because her eyes were filled with tears and her heart was broken, she could not even see what was right in front of her face. But when God opened her eyes, Pastor, what's that? See, when God opens your eyes, all of a sudden the college that sits right in your neighborhood, for the first time you know it's sitting there. And you say, I'm going to school. The library you've been walking past all your life, for the first time when God opens your eyes, you say, I'm going into this library and find me a book that will help me with my situation. When God opens your eyes, you have the courage. I'm going to put my name in for the promotion. I may not get it, but I'm going to try to get it. When God opens up your eyes, the well becomes. And God speaks. Have you ever been in trouble? Oh, I'm not talking about your middle class trouble. Nobody care about you paying the Duke Power late. You ought to think you got money to pay it late. I'm talking about some sure enough trouble. Have you ever been in trouble and God speaks? You ever been like Moses at the Red Sea? Pharaoh pressing down behind you and Red Sea in front of you? And you say, God, if you don't do something, we will be killed and slaughtered on this hill. And God speaks. What's that in your hand, Moses? Ain't nothing but a crooked rod. I've had it with me the whole journey. Well, you don't even know what you have in your hand, Moses. Just stretch it out and let me use it as an instrument for the power of God. When God speaks, Daniel, I see you've been faithful, but here you are in the lion's den. How'd you get down here? Just praying in the morning, praying in the afternoon, praying in the evening, and here you are in the lion's den. God speaks and locks a lion's jaw. Three Hebrew boys, how'd y'all get in that fiery furnace? We didn't break no rules. We just said we wouldn't bow down and worship nobody but the Lord God himself. The Bible says, and God speaks, and in the midst of a fiery furnace, God shows up. And I came to tell somebody, God will show up. No, God will show up. She lifted the boy up, held him up, and gave him water to drink. And gave him to drink. And apparently the boy got strong, because in verse 20, God, it says, was with the boy. And I was going to stop it right there, because that's a place where I can shout. I'm always happy when I can say, God is with me. No, God is with me. He walks with me. No, he talks with me. He tells me every now and then that I belong to him. In the desert, at the point of death, rejected by his earthly father, no food, no water. Now he's dying there, but God heard the boy, sent an angel, spoke to the boy's mother. The mother heard the voice of the angel, looked up, and water was over yonder's hill. I came to tell somebody, when you learn to pray and you seek God first, God will speak. Jabez prayed in Chronicles. The Lord prayed in Matthews. Jonah prayed in Jonah. David prayed in Psalms 3. Hannah prayed the prayer of praise. And God heard every prayer. I'm so glad, no matter what's going on in the world, and no matter what's going on in my life, no matter what's going on in my body, no matter what's going on in my home, that I have the gift and the privilege of prayer. And that no matter who has rejected me, whether it's my mother, whether it's my father, whether it's my auntie, whether it's my uncle, whether it's a brother or a sister, I can reach my hands up to heaven and look up to heaven and follow my teacher. And my teacher told me this, that when you need to talk to him, just call him up and say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Day by day feed my soul. Day by day feed my body. Give us our daily bread. And forgive us as we learn how to forgive others. Help us, Father. Keep us, Father. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. For how long? Forever. That's a mighty long time, Reverend. How long? Forever. How long? Forever. And since I'm going to live with him forever, I'm practicing my praise down here on earth so that forever and ever I'm going to give him glory. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to give him glory. Why? Because forever and ever, though he slay me, yet shall I live. Why? Because forever and ever. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Have you ever been in the desert? Have you ever been given up on? Have you ever been cast to the side? Have you ever felt like there was nobody there to help you? And then God. And when you prayed, God spoke. And when God spoke, he brought living water. Hey, 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 he brought living water to your soul. I heard him say, if you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. You will never thirst again. I read a book on health not long ago. It says that when you wake up in the morning, one of the first things you do is you should drink a glass of water. Because you sweat during the night and your organs get dried out. And you got to refresh yourself. It's a part of my morning ritual. When I wake up, I do my meditation. I do my prayer. It takes me about 15, 20 minutes. And then I get my bottle of water. You with me? And I make sure that before I do any eating or anything, I always drink a bottle of water. Howard Thurman, one of our great teachers, taught us some time ago, for every physical equivalency, there is always a spiritual equivalency. Okay, everything in the physical world is simply a reflection of what happens in the spiritual world. It is not vice versa. It is not that the physical world produces the spiritual world. It's the spiritual world produces the physical world. We got to twist up. We've been mistaught. All right. So now I was drinking my water and the Lord said, oh, by the way, are you drinking of me every morning? Now you get a bottle of water for your physical body. But just like you need that bottle of water to refresh yourself before you start your day, you need some spiritual water to refresh yourself before you do anything during the day. Here's the biggest mistake. We're just living now in a time where we're just so busy. Just busy, 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 busy. Just busy. We so busy, we don't even know what we're doing. And people say, well, I don't have time. I don't have time to spend 15 minutes with God. I don't have time for 30 minutes in the morning with God. But you got time to ask God to give you strength for 24 hours. Amen. And the first time you wake up and you can't move, you say, oh, Lord, my world just changed. Huh? First time you're back, oh, Lord, you called on Jesus. He said, I've been looking to hear from you. What's taking you so long? I got to lock up your back for you to call my name. Why, I got to do that to you. Jesus, my business is failing. Why I got to wreck your house before you call on me? Talk to me, somebody. You listening? Whatever you have gone through, you may have been displaced, cast aside. Your very father may have cast you aside. I want you to know your heavenly Father has a plan and a purpose for your journey. Amen. And even when the people who are closest to us wound us, don't say, oh, my God, you're destroyed. No. Say, God, I know you got me. I can't see my way out, but I'm walking. I'm going to trust you one step at a time. And we're going to walk out of this darkness together. And then when he brings you out, just give him glory. That's all I'm saying. Just give him glory. Just thank and praise him. I've learned preaching that you never have to pump up anybody who the Lord has blessed. Amen. Only folk you got to pump up is the ones who ain't got nothing to be thankful for. Amen. But as good as God is to us, if I took your life and you and I sat down, I took a notebook and I said, tell me about yourself. And I start writing your story. I probably couldn't get through one line without putting a check, praise him. Praise him. Pastor, I didn't get through the first paragraph. No, you, look, stop right here. Sentence one, praise him. But Pastor, what has he done for me? He woke you up this morning. You here. Somebody's in the hospital this morning. Somebody's gone on home to be with the Lord. He's given you another day. I can start preaching all over again, but I won't. If you stand up right now, I won't start preaching again. Come on, stand up. If you're asleep, I'm going to start preaching again. Every head bowed. You're here today, not by happenstance, but you're here under faith. The doors of this church are open. What we mean by that simply is that we want you to experience the love of God.
We have persons who will pray with you and sit individually with each of you and share with you what it means to accept Christ as your Lord and your Savior. In doing so, they will become your first friend here at Mount Carmel. And they will walk with you through a process that we call transformation, which means I believe that God wants to continue to transform us to become more. We may never reach perfection in flesh, but we can always become better. Amen.